Hello and good evening, everybody. Thank you all for joining us on the 23rd episode of Podcast Culture.
I think it's the 22nd.
Okay. Thank you all for joining us on the 22nd episode of Podcast Culture. Joining me tonight are Mihir Jam.
Hey guys, how's it going?
And our Fateh Ali Khan.
Hello.
Yo, what's up, everybody?
What's going on? I hear we rule in the background, Taimur. Fucking put your your volume off from your iPhone and get into the podcast, man.
Okay, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, man. It's game time.
I had it the other way around, so it kept on increasing the volume.
Very good.
Anywho, okay, so guys, today's episode is going to be jam-packed with freaking iPad info and some more games that we've been playing, because we haven't actually watched much anime this week. Well, nothing new.
I watched some new Justice League that went really well, so I will talk about that.
Good stuff.
Not joking, man. Come on, why are you laughing?
Why don't you start?
Who, me?
Yeah, meanwhile, yeah. I can, like, you know, take out my corns.
Okay, fine. Justice League. What did I do in Justice League? Yeah.
Watched it, maybe?
Yeah, that's right.
I think you should really get off V-roll, guys, because you're not ready.
Right, so you know how I said there were a lot of story elements and stuff like that that were trying to build up to something big. Well, that big thing did happen in a four-part, like, big storyline, which is the biggest storyline they've had so far, where everything came together and all, you know, sorts of shit hit the fan with the government going against Justice League because Luthor was... making it seem like the Justice League went out of control and were attacking the Earth and stuff like that, and how that all came to a head and everything, and what happens at the end where they actually want to disband the Justice League. And then there's an epilogue episode, the fifth episode, which is more or less a future episode, which was more or less, you could say, a prequel to the Batman Beyond series that started a long time ago and finished a long time ago as well. And it was really, really nicely done. It was like, you know, more or less talking about the, you know, what makes Batman Batman and everything.
Level up, baby. Sorry.
That series was about, like, I mean, Bruce Wayne was old in that series, right? And he was trying to train a protege.
Exactly.
I remember watching that, but like vaguely.
Yeah, so that was nice. And then the series continues. So I'm hoping there's, I think, maybe about 10 episodes or 15 episodes the most left. And some of the titles of those look pretty earth-shattering as well. So I really look forward to it. It was really nice that they made it quite, you know, engaging and emotional and everything as well. So I have to say I was pretty bloody impressed at how they did it for a children's show. And one that's quite old as well now. So, yeah. It was pretty nice. I watched some more Valkyria Chronicles as well, and that show is still going well paced. Taimur, what did I tell you about the sound?
That was not me.
Mihir? What the hell are you doing, dude?
I'm sorry.
Everyone playing this one? Yeah, okay. And of course, we all watched a movie as well, but I guess we can talk about that after everyone talks about what they've been watching. Well, and I'm not talking about the iPhone. Playing Wii Rule, I mean, actually watching. Taimur?
Dude, beans take one day? Anyways. Mihir, what's up, man? What have you been... just let me plant these onions.
So I basically watch the normal anime what we've been, like, following this season.
Anything
and actually, like, the... No, I didn't catch anything new. I just continued with the stuff I picked for the season. And, I just wanted to say, like, Giant Killing, I would say that is my favorite till now, because the way it's handling tension, the way it's handling its characters is, like, exceptionally well done. I mean,
this is the football anime.
Yeah, this is the football anime, and how do I say, like, so the, I told you, I mentioned this before, that the animation, like, the production values are not that high. And I guess that that has, like, sustained throughout the season, but now that I've gotten used to the style of anime I've basically given into the fact that it's fine. The way they've animated it, it's working. It's nothing bad. So the characters, the way the director and the writers have basically delved into each character every episode is amazing. Like, these guys really, really know their characters, and they have characters which seem villainous, but they also have their motives and onto why they are actually doing this, onto why they're basically carrying out the actions we consider bad. And I mean, it's a brilliant show, so to speak, because this was the biggest surprise. Sports shows and sports animes specifically are not very well done. They're pretty predictable.
Because sports video games, they all suck.
No, sports video games have improved. Come on, FIFA 10, the UFC game.
Dude, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't play sports games.
Anyway, so if you still haven't checked this out, I think 4 episodes or 5 episodes have gone. And definitely check it out. And also, I would like to say that Anbu is subbing it now. So all the people who do not wait for the subs like me, Anbu is doing it. So Anbu is one of the, I guess, the leading fan subbing groups out there. And they've picked it up, so that it's a good thing that at least one fan subbing group is picking it up. And and the other thing I watched is like what we talk about, which is Iron Man 2, which released actually quite early over here, a week earlier than the US release date.
US release date is what?
May 5th.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
But they had the press screenings and all the reviews and stuff are out, but the movie itself to the public hasn't been released yet. In like major cinemas.
Suck it, US. Anyway, so yeah, like I said before, I haven't watched any new anime, so to speak, just continuing stuff from the old series. And you know what, honestly, like, we're not at the point now where we can new animes, because A, nothing is coming out, and B, you know, some of the existing stuff, the back catalog is just increasing.
And the stuff which is going to end I think, in mid-July, if I'm not, or mid-June, I'm not sure.
From last year's series, yes, from last year's whole series.
Well, only one anime, which is Full Metal Alchemist.
Okay. So I can, like, I've planted all my onions, now I can safely hit the dashboard and quit the game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Now I can pay full attention to the podcast. All right, mate.
God.
let's roll. Iron Man 2, guys. We saw that this week. Let's not spoil the stories. Just tell me your impressions of the movie itself.
Yeah, okay. Let's just say that this review is going to be non-spoilery. So even if you haven't watched the film, we won't spoil it. Or we'll try our best not to spoil it if we try. Anyway.
He dies. He dies in the end.
Oh God, man, that was such a
Jesus, man, come on. I'm kidding. <No.
laughs>
Taimur, you want to go first because you haven't watched anything else?
Okay, fine. Iron Man 2. Let's just give our opinions, and then give a quick out of 10 rating for Iron Man 2. I did not watch any trailers whatsoever, complete media blackout, and you know, I was glad, because after I watched the movie, I came home, saw the, I think it was a theatrical trailer maybe, running on the TV, so I told my mom, you know, this is what we went to see. They showed everything, dude. Like, every kick-ass major scene, action scene, they just showed small clips of it. Out of context, that doesn't seem much, but they're already setting the bar up so high that, you know, when the movie dragged in the middle, you were like, oh, that sucks. Anyway, like I said, I had zero expectations. Just some slight build up from the first movie. I liked the movie. That was nice. You know, the action sequences, the actors themselves, like, and I, Don Cheadle, like, you know, that he was fine for me. Like, honestly, I couldn't see him, you know, playing any worse. However, the old guy, I forgot his name.
Terrence Howard.
Yes, he portrayed a more, you know, like a more responsible sort of person. Cause you know, when Tony Stark got out of hand, then, you know, like, he looked like the part that, you know, he could handle him without an Iron Man suit. But, anyway, so yeah, I mean, the movie just had too many, you know, cheesy scenes. I don't want to spoil anything. Let me find a good example. Okay. Yeah. Scenes between just these, let's take the fight scene Should we say no?
No.
Yeah.
No. Nothing.
Okay.
I mean, even if you can't, we'll keep talking about it. Don't spoil, like, I guess, anything, because this movie is...
Okay, the thing is that, you know how you see all these, like, some typical movies that are targeted towards teens, you know, there's not much thought or, you know, there's not much consequences to scenes. So, you know, they're just happening for the sake of, oh, that was funny. That kind of feeling, that it made no sense and it just felt stupid in the grand scheme of things. Because the story is semi-serious. I mean, yeah, it's Iron Man. But I guess, you know, after The Dark Knight, there's certain expectations that have been developed. You know, okay, comic book movies don't necessarily need to be, you know, all humor and, you know, just mindless bashing of things. Sadly, this was the case in Iron Man 2. That said, you know, I mean, it was Iron Man 2. The first movie wasn't exactly the sort of true to force like Batman Begins. So, I, you know, it didn't, like, shatter any expectation. But like I said, you know, I was sort of disappointed that they still stuck with cheap tricks and, you know, cheap moments. But apart from that, yeah, it was a good movie. I'd give it a solid 7.
Nice. Arif, you want to go or should I? I mean, whatever.
Well, yeah, let's give a fanboy's view of it then, I guess.
All right, Arif, you go.
Obviously, I'm a comic book fan and, a fan of superhero fiction, everything. So I have to say, I was really looking forward to this movie. Yes, I had built it up.
You watched the trailers and stuff?
Like, I did.
You followed interviews and all that crap?
Yeah, I watched the trailers. Interviews and stuff, not really.
Okay.
When I went into the cinema, I was like, hopefully, won't disappoint anything. And I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. The action scenes were very, very well done. They were properly exciting and not just like for the sake of, okay, it's an action scene. Which a lot of, movies get wrong, which is surprising. The rapport between the actors was good. I mean, all of them, I know what you were saying, they're more about, comedy and stuff like that. But I think it really worked, because Robert Downey Jr., his delivery was excellent.
Oh, without a doubt. He was just absolutely kick-ass in his role.
I liked everyone, Mickey Rourke, everything. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow was, she was nothing spectacular. I mean, she was there. And I don't know. She didn't really do anything for me in the movie, to be honest with you. Scarlett Johansson, she did enough. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, yes, watching the trailers and everything, I wasn't disappointed, I have to say. All the moments were a lot of fun. And the only thing that was a bit of a letdown was the near the end of the movie, the last, very last, which seemed to get over too soon, was too quick.
Arfi, can you repeat that? The voice cut out.
Oh, sorry. The last action sequence, the last fight, you could say, just was over too quickly and too easily for me. They could have, they figured out, okay, this is how to beat the enemy.
I must say that the last sequence is a bit abrupt.
Yeah, and I just thought, okay, there's going to be something more now, but there wasn't. So, yeah. But overall, I really, really enjoyed it. It was nice watching it on the digital cinema as well, because it was like watching a Blu-ray almost on the big screen, which was awesome.
Yes, the digital cinema was really, really nicely done.
Really nice. I would give it, my score will obviously be a little bit exaggerated, but it'll be like about 8.5. But, because I really enjoy it and I would happily go and watch it again. But again, remember, I'm a fanboy. So, me here?
Alright, let's just start. Like, I was going in the movie, like the first movie, I liked it, but I didn't like have the, like, I didn't basically have a wank fest over the first film, so I went into the movie with considerably, I wouldn't say high expectation, but like realistic expectations from a sequel, because some people were just
actually used a lot of TV, but anyway. And every time after that. But anyway, sorry, guys.
But anyway, like some people were just... like some people were just expecting way too much out of this film. And I mean, the first film, I liked it, as I said, but I didn't feel like it was that great a movie. I mean, it was a fun movie, and it was definitely better than the latter stuff we had watched. So it was a fun movie, but it wasn't the, like, it, I think it got a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I wouldn't say it deserved that much. But, so I went to this movie with realistic expectations, and I enjoyed it. It was a fun movie. It definitely had some flaws, more so over the script. I felt the story wasn't as engaging as I thought it would be, and
that's true.
And the action scenes of this movie were just amazing. I absolutely loved the action scenes in this movie, and there are more action scenes than the previous film. And I feel Favreau, in his directing ability and his confidence in his action scenes this time around, just completely delivered. But so. Mm-hmm. I felt this movie was basically like a three-part structure film. Like, it had first act, which is more like introduction and getting all the characters, the second act, and the third act, which was the end. But the second act, I felt, was kind of like a repeat of the film, like of scenes in the previous acts, and which I feel didn't exactly play out very well. And I would go to some extent to say some of the scenes. Only some, like maybe a couple, were a bit draggy and a bit boring in the middle, in the second act. Mm-hmm. And okay. But I like the action scenes were just electrifying in this film. So like, if you are going for an action for a fun film, go for it. And I'll just say that the actors are the cast is just amazing in this film. Favreau got the best out of everybody, I felt. But I felt that he used he underused Scarlett Johansson. Johansson, yeah. However you say her name, she was underused both as a character as well as an actress, Robert Downey Jr. was just amazing. He basically, I don't know, he's just redeemed himself since Iron Man till now, and all the movies he's coming, like with Tropic Thunder and this film and the last Iron Man film, he's just coming out with the roles and basically playing them pitch perfectly. It's just amazing to see an actor who's down, and his basically his career was in the shambles.
His acting reminded me of what's his name? Holy shit! I completely forgot. Shame on me. Jack Sparrow, dude.
Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp.
Yes. Like, you know, the dedication to the role is what I'm saying. That, you know, he was slightly eccentric, but you know he understood
He was eccentric, but he didn't go like completely quirky or like retarded weird. He was just pitch perfect, and he, like, Tony Stark is basically Robert Downey Jr. in our minds now, because I don't think so anybody will be able to play or recreate like such magic from a role like Robert Downey Jr. has played it.
But
I got to say, the most enjoyable character of that film for me at least, Justin Hammer. I just absolutely fell in love with that character. His dance moves, his dicky attitude towards other people, his presence in the film was just amazing. And his relationship with Mickey Rourke's character. That is not a spoiler, the way. That is not a spoiler, but anyway. And just him being there.
Spoiler, right?
It was there in the trailer, that's why. In one of the trailers. So, wow. His performance, I just completely fell in love with. And I gotta say, I also gotta say that Mickey Rourke was a good actor. He also played he didn't have much dialogue in the film. He had a very good presence on screen. He had strong presence whenever he was on the screen. So that was what exactly, you need for an actor that's playing Whiplash. And, so he was good in that role. I mean, I enjoyed the movie. It was a fun movie. It had some flaws, yes, but it was still a lot of fun. So I feel people are going to like it. It's going to make a shitload of money, and hopefully in the third film, if there is a third film, Favreau just like takes all that propulsive energy and he puts it into the story. And because during the action scenes also, you know the character motives, you know, and like the tone of each of the action sequences, you know the characters and how they react, and it feels. realistic in that sense, in the sense of the world's logic. So that will like if he just works on the script next time around, it'll be a really fun movie, a very strong film to watch if the story was just a bit better. But anyway, like, it's a fun film. Go check it out. On a numerical scale, I would say 7.5, maybe.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. So that's 7 from me, 7.5 from here. And Arfi, your scale was what exactly?
8.5.
Just choose a number, dude.
Okay, 8.5.
Wow, fanboy.
No, it was a fun movie. It had its flaws, yeah, but
that's an average of 7.666666 culture. And two. And I guess, you know, that's an appropriate score. I mean, it's not too much and it's not too less either. Yeah.
But to be honest, I don't know, I maybe get like flamed for saying this, but I actually felt like it was on par with the first film, to be honest.
See, the thing is that the special effects were much, much better, but the pacing and, you know, the
wow factor,
the slight stupidity just sort of dropped, and yeah, like Warfi said, the wow factor. So it sort of balanced itself out. I would say it's...
But I guess the wow factor was basically... Most important factor why everybody thought the first film was so great was that they had absolutely no expectations for that first film. Like, people, like, Iron Man was like one of the characters, like Green Lantern and like the Thor and all those guys, you know? It wasn't Spider-Man, it wasn't Batman, it wasn't like Superman. It was one of those smaller characters, at least, how the world perceived. Not, of course, not comic book geeks, but like, of how, like, the, everybody else, they didn't consider Iron Man or Green Lantern, all those guys, interesting. And Iron Man just came out with, like, Favreau just came out of the film just like completely, I guess, over exceeded everybody's expectation because of the fact that there were no expectations when coming in the film. And Robert Downey Jr. His career was not going good before the first film, and that role redeemed him. And now, like, comparing that film and this film with the expectation factor, I would say it's unfair to give this film a lower rating because of that. So, I mean, I personally feel it is on par with the first film because as I said, I didn't find the first film as great as other people did. I liked it, yes, but it wasn't like the best thing ever created. So, I find it unfair that people are going to like bob this down because they came in expecting way too much.
Yeah, fair enough, I guess.
This is gonna make so much money though.
Yeah, it's gonna make a shitload of, and thank God they didn't do 3D. I mean, like, I'm grateful that they didn't do 3D.
Yes.
I mean, 3D is cool when it's done well, but like nowadays everything being done in 3D, it's just like kind of
it's like a bloody fad
annoying
now, man.
It's
just
it's annoying
3D on this. Yeah.
It's kind of annoying nowadays.
I watched the Avatar 2D Blu-ray at home, and I was telling you guys earlier, I actually enjoyed it.
You suck.
Enjoyed it not in the sense that, you know, holy crap, this some movie is amazing, but enjoyed it in the sense that, you know, when you're like having dinner and, you know, there's something nice on the TV, that sort of enjoyment. It was good. It wasn't great. It was good. It wasn't as bad as I was hating on it earlier in the cinema.
I would just never... ever watch that as a 2D movie.
Because yeah, I mean, like, that would just defeat the purpose
for me. Yeah.
Yes, I sort of needed my dosage of anime, and that movie filled it.
To like what you were saying, like, you relax and watch it. I actually feel when I'm watching that in the cinema, because, you know, like, I'm going to watch something and just enjoy myself, while I get really, like, overcritical when I'm watching a movie in the house. And like,
yeah,
finding
I'm
this
exactly
thing, that
the
thing.
Opposite. Because in the cinema, I'm like, oh Jesus, I paid money for this. This better be good. Every second counts. You know, like, it has to be the best moment.
So, what you pay for your movies at home?
No, at home it's like, you know, at home it's like, you know, I'm just very relaxed. I don't care. I can pause anytime. I can continue the next day. Who cares? And I'm not stuck with salsa, although the salsa wasn't so bad.
I don't know. I still feel like once you pay for a movie, you just like leave it and just go watch it. I mean, if it's pathetically bad, then you go, then you bash on it, then you bash on it even more. But but I feel like that experience that Avatar would created in the IMAX can never be recreated ever, because that's like an event film.
Yeah.
Like
for the first time, yes.
I mean, ever, because watching it on a large screen is the way to watch Avatar, and in 3D. I mean, watching it 2D is kind of defeats the whole purpose, like, of that, I mean, that visual experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, it does.
You all gotta stop hating, man.
It's not hating, I'm just saying.
No, I accepted it as hating.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what we have been watching. Anything else, guys? Any TV series?
I have watched something, but I guess I'll talk about that next week. Once I have something to talk about it, I mean, it's Breaking Bad, but I'll talk about it later.
Oh, God. Okay, fine, yeah. Let's just save it for next week. Ooh, nothing else in terms of, you know, watching stuff?
I mean, Full Metal Alchemist has just been pwning, has just been destroying every, like, preceding episode it's going, because the level of basically, the level of quality they've come up to now is just amazing. Bones have, I feel, I'm so, like, happy that Bones has topped themselves compared to the last series. This series, as a series compared to the old Full Metal Alchemist, is just it's better in so many terms. Even though the first series was so much it was so awesome watching that first series, having that experience of basically getting into this world of alchemy. This series, in my opinion, is a way better series, and it's going to end on a very high note. Hopefully they learn how to end these episodes, and they'll come up with a great series. They'll come. Bones will pull this off. I have a trust in them that they'll be able to.
Confident now.
Yeah, because okay. The last few episodes have just been amazing. I mean, you've been watching it, right? Like, you've seen how every episode, and not only
without
in action, in not even in the action department, but also in the drama department. I've seen in this week's episode, which is 54, and how a character of, okay, I won't say anything, but you have to watch it. It is an amazing series. And I'm just grateful that it's going on to like 64 episodes, not 53 or 54.
Yeah.
I'm actually grateful that it's going on for a longer time now.
Otherwise it would have been sad. Well, sort of.
It would have been finished.
Yeah, that was a great series. What was the season for Justice League, the one that you were watching?
What's that?
Which season is it on?
Because the way I got it was just episodes 1 to like 90 something.
Oh, it's like an anime then.
Right, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, second, you could say it might be into the third season, but the third season is really, really going to be short. So
what's the series called? Is it called just Justice League, or is it like Justice League and something?
Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
Yep.
You want to move on to games?
So let's just move on to games, because this is going to be huge. Before we move on to the main topic of the week, have you been playing anything new? Because I have one game. It's pretty damn good.
You go first.
I have one as well.
Okay. Arfi, why don't you?
I have nothing.
Well, I got hooked up with Splinter Cell Conviction.
Okay.
Recently,
nice.
Which is interesting. I had low expectations of that game coming from the demo, because the demo for me was pretty poor, to be honest with you. It didn't really do anything for me. Even the controls, everything, I didn't feel them being very interesting whatsoever.
strong words, because I heard that the demos was, like, at least from the people we play with, they were like all... They were just basically, they just loved the demo.
Oh, that's
like,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I mean, it did nothing for me. I played it once, and that was it. I was just like, oh man, they've destroyed it, you know, because I loved Splinter Cell Double Agent on the Xbox 360. I mean, that was a fantastic game. And getting into this game, I came in with very low expectations, obviously, but I felt that the controls were actually very, very good. The movement, everything, you know, controlling your character, he does what he needs to do and goes in the direction you need him to go, and, you know, he is very intuitive. You know, you're like, okay, I'm going to do this now, and he does it. You know, there's no sort of mistakes going on, like, okay, instead of opening the door, you Instead of peeking out of the door, you open the door by mistake and things like that. Or
there's no Assassin's Creed going on over here.
Okay, fair enough, if you want to call it that. And the level design is lovely because, I mean, there's lots of... I mean, what I found after playing it for a while, that there were actually, I mean, you know, a lot of data that, oh, lots of different routes and lots of different ways to complete an objective, blah, blah, blah. But in this game, it's actually true because I found myself, even though I progressed through a checkpoint, I would go back and restart the checkpoint to see how else I could do it right then and there, because it was so interesting. Because, you know, once I maybe, like, killed off the bad guys to progress to the next point or whatever, I found that, oh, hey, I could have gone this way. Or there was actually a whole other level. There was, like, a level on top that you could have gone from. And it was really cool, you know, and I find this more and more. You can take a, you know, street-level approach. Then there'll be an approach where maybe there's an, you know, above-ground approach. There might even be a lower-ground approach. There's just so many different ways to go about it. It's so interesting to explore, you know, the areas and find out, okay, what is the way? You know, you can go in guns blazing, you know, and if you have some good guns, it'll work. But or you can do it stealthy, very, you know, Batman Arkham Asylum type of stuff. You know, the fighting, hand-to-hand fighting is limited to one move sort of executions where you have to get up close and personal to the people without them seeing you. But yeah, I've really gotten into the game, and what I'm upset about is that it's probably going to be quite short, because I played it yesterday, and I've played a little bit today, and I think I'm coming up to the sort of denouement, the, you know, the big finish sort of thing already. So I think probably another...
It is rated at a 5 or 6 hour game.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of replay value, you know, trying to get it, trying to finish off levels without anyone seeing you.
I guess
stuff
so.
Like that. There's a lot of unlockables by playing the game in a certain way. I mean, there's some environmental attacks that you can do that I've not done at all, and I really want to use them. You don't see how it works, like dropping massive objects onto people's heads and stuff. I decided not to do that. I decided to take, you know, other methods. And there's an interesting story. I mean, obviously it's supposed to be a lot more involved. There's a big, how do you say, reveal about halfway through the game, which... honestly, wasn't all that, oh my god, you know, it was just like, oh, okay. So, story-wise, it's not as good, I think, as Splinter Cell Double Agent was, because that had some crazy shit going on in it. But still, I've really been enjoying the game. I mean, more or less now, you know, the main character of Sam Fisher, he's a man of action because his daughter was killed. And what he finds out is that it wasn't a mistake. It was actually premeditated. So
hit is what you're saying?
Yeah. You know, so he's obviously pissed off and he's going after the guys. I mean, there are, you know, there's some levels in the game which are really, that are out in the open. You're walking amongst people, you know, and... you have to chase after a guy, but you have to chase after him in the middle of all this crowd. And, you know, it's like a proper sort of setting. And it's just so nice. You know, it's so nicely done. The set pieces, some of them are spectacular. And I've really, really been enjoying the game. It gets quite tough somewhere down the line, which is good. You know, obviously the difficulty level does ramp up, which is nice. And you should play it when you're energetic and you're got a clear head. Because I was playing a level yesterday until about 2 o'clock in the morning.
And then you kept on dying.
And I kept on dying. And I was like, oh, screw this. And I closed it and I went to sleep. In the afternoon today, I switched on again thinking, okay, you know, let's try it out. And I got through it in the second try because there was something I didn't realize. Because I was quite tired. So... you know, I mean, I'm really enjoying it, and the game itself actually has a a beta code for Tom Clancy's Advanced Warfighter Future Warfare.
Yes. Yeah.
So, you know, when that
was it called, Ghost Soldier or something? Oh, no, I forgot. What was it called?
Future Soldier.
I actually cannot wait for that game. Because I'm a really big fan of the Tom Clancy Ghost Recon series. I just love that series.
Yeah, the last game was what? 2006?
Game.
The last game was, wasn't it like a launch title? I mean, it was 1 year after
the... It was 2005 and then 2006 or 7 maybe. Because I remember I was still in the UK and when they launched Gro. And
right,
showed the trailers in the on the TV, and it just blew me away how realistic it looked.
I just love this game. All the Tom Clancy games like Vegas and Ghost Recon. I just love the whole tactical. Like those games are like ultra tactical in the sense like they're not like Gears of War where you go and like basically you can basically go and run gun as well.
Yes,
but
exactly.
This you have to be if you have a team you have to be tactical in the game. Otherwise, you will not.
Yeah.
You will succeed if you have like...
Survival is not an option.
I mean, but I don't know. I just love those games. I'm really, really excited for this next game. When is it out? Is it out in fall or is it like winter?
I'm not really sure, but they did say that the beta itself will be summer. So I'm assuming it'll either be winter or spring next year.
Summer 2010, yes, for the beta. Correct.
The beta, is it like multiplayer or single player?
Yeah, multiplayer beta. Multiplayer beta.
Oh, it's nice. That's the...
Yeah.
You know, this summer we have games which are basically not retail games, but like betas, like Halo 3, which is out in like 5 days, or like 3 days. And and there's this game coming out, which is in, I think, summer as well. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It will be good. There will be a good reason not to go out into the heat.
Indeed, sir.
Yeah.
Another reason not to go out in the heat is playing a long-ass RPG. Thankfully, these RPGs aren't that long. What a brilliant segue. I managed to get my hands on Nier, or Nier, however you want to call it. And this is another, supposedly a AAA Square Enix RPG. The brilliant thing about this game is that, you know, it's the complete opposite of Final Fantasy XIII. So hear me out. The basic story, I think this is supposed to be a sequel or a spiritual sequel of some old game that Square released like sometime back, and because it has the same characters but the story is different. So what happens is that the story goes like this. Before I begin with the story, you have to know that there are two versions of the game. One is the Japanese local release and the other one is the Western release, essentially. The Japanese release, the story goes like, you know, I think he's a teenage dude, maybe, I'm not really sure. Anyways, his little sister, she's sick with this terminal illness, and then, you know, not sickness as in, you know, like she's, she is coughing and stuff. But there are like these weird symbols that grow on her, like arms, and, you know, it's like sort of this thing that, you know, he has to cure her, find a cure through, you know, some magical related stuff. So he goes out on a journey. Now, the Western release is that the guy, the main protagonist is actually an old guy, and that's his daughter that he's trying to save. Both the protagonists share the same name. The Japanese version is a young kid, and then the Western release is an old guy. Not an old guy, but, you know, 30s maybe, I don't know. The girl or the daughter or the sister, they're the exact same character models, the names. So the story, everything is exactly the same. It's just the portrayal of the main character that's been changed.
Mm-hmm.
So... Anyways, that's the basic gist of the story that, you know, you grew up, you're trying to save your daughter. Pretty simple. I mean, it's not like Final Fantasy XIII, you know, previous Final Fantasy games where, you know, there's some political stuff involved and, you know, things going on in the background. You don't understand into the game or something. So anyways, the presentation of the RPG is very, in this, the,
shit.
No. The user interface is very much like Valkyria Chronicles. You know, it's extremely, you know, like crisp and, you know, like just basic information is provided to you. It's not like overloading you with a lot of stats or whatever.
Okay.
And the gameplay is completely like an action RPG. So you level up, you have your inventory system, you can, you know, get better level of items. You have a full town, that you can go into, you know, like buy items, buy weapons, etc.
But what's the gameplay?
Yeah, I'm getting to that. So okay. The actual gameplay is sort of hack and slash.
Oh,
hack and slash in the sense that it's the closest thing that comes to my mind is, I would say God of War, but okay. God of War in the sense that it's not like Devil May Cry. God of War in the sense that, you know, you have different moves mapped out into different parts of the button, to the controller.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say L2 is like, you know, your dodge button. You roll out of attacks. The R2 button is like, you know, you block attacks, so, you know, enemies are attacking. You have a sword or a long wand or something like that throughout the game. Or an axe or maybe something like that. I mean, you have different sorts of weapons. Nothing ranged, so, you know, complete hack and slashing. And here's the brilliant part, that part of the action comes in from the sense that you're not just like, you know, melee attacks. There are some magical attacks as well. This is where it gets really interesting. The magical attacks play out that, you know, the left and the right trigger, you know, you can assign two or three different magical attacks to them. You can go into the menus and set them apart. Mm-hmm. So the magical attacks are like, there's a book. There's a magical book that assists you, and the book can talk. So one of the okay. magical attacks is that the book opens up.
That could
and
be it could be very weird.
It could be in the sense that, you know, Alice in Wonderland was weird. So so you open the book and then you press the right trigger and then it shoots red bullets like some sort of blades, you know, like Guile's sonic boom.
Okay.
Those kind of things. Now when you're fighting regular enemies, then, you know, you jump into the middle, roll over. You're fighting boss super screen is full of red like balls or something just coming at you. Like, let me give you an example. You've seen those Ikaruga type games, right? Bullet hell shooters.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine that, but in a 3D environment. So like bullets are going like up, down, straight towards you, left, right, everywhere. You can counter those bullets with these with the books, or, you know, you're jumping around and stuff. It's a really nice mix and match of these things. So you have hack and slash during boss fights. Of course, you can do the regular hack and slash moves. You can also, there's these elements of a bullet shooter. And then, you know, you can also, there are some other attacks that, you know, they're like a giant ass hand comes out, like sort of like Bayonetta, and then, you know, it just sweeps around everybody. So like, you know, within close range, 360 degrees, everybody's just dead. Or there's another one where, you know, enemies are coming closer to you, and then, you know, you just hit that right trigger by holding onto it. And then swords will, like, you know, just strike from the heavens, and everybody will just be like, you know, just destroyed. So the combat mechanic is really cool. It mixes and matches a lot of things, and, you know, it's all up to you how you want to, you know, switch between different tactics. So really nice, really unique. You know, it's not like turn-based at all. You can see enemies, you can avoid them. Sometimes you get into a room and then, you know, you have to fight them because otherwise the lock won't open. You can't proceed forward. But otherwise, like a complete breath of fresh air. This is exactly the kind of, you know, RPG that you want to play. Just relax. The story is intriguing enough. It's not, you know, too overly complicated.
I think I'll like it a lot because of the fact that it's not turn-based.
Yeah. That is not turn-based, exactly. The graphics are extremely crisp. You know, like, I don't know what sort of, like, anti-aliasing or anisotropic filtering these guys have done, but it's amazing. They also play a little bit with depth of field, so things that are way too far away, they'll be sort of blurred. But, you know, sometimes when you, like, curve the camera behind a third person, like, you know, in third person games, you bring it close to the wall or something, then that'll mm-hmm. blur it out as well. So it doesn't let you see any ugly textures at all. Like, everything just looks beautiful. Music is very, it's sort of a mix between, you know, like, town, sort of like country sort of music, but also not, you know, like...
Country music?
No, not country music. I'm saying this wrong. You know, like those old,
medieval music? Kind of times?
Yeah. That's
like the ones.
Yeah,
In WoW and Oblivion, I guess I'm just like spitting out now, but I think it's. I mean, it looks like the type of game that will have that type of music. You know,
the kind of music you also expect from, you know, Robin Hood sort of movies, like there's like these flutes and like, you know, like nice.
Yeah.
Casual music going on in the background. Music is freaking amazing. And they also have, like, you know, they paid a lot of attention with the music. So, you know, like, there's a woman, she's just like, she's a minstrel. So she's just singing the song. Like, you know, she's just playing on her, looks like a banjo or something. So when you walk towards her, she's singing the song, but when she start talking to her, like conversing to her, the music will keep on going in the background, but you know, you're talking to her, and then once you leave her, the vocals will start again. To play a whole lot of attention to detail is just an amazing RPG. But mind you, I've just played the first 3 hours now. So it could go like, you know, really shitty later on. I don't know.
That's what it seems to be, because people are I read like a bit of the Eurogamer review, which gave it actually I think a 60 or a 70. And just for information, the game holds a 72 rating on Metacritic, which is quite surprising. Sad. because you praise it so much. Yeah, I mean like from the trailers and like all the gameplay stuff I saw, it looks pretty interesting. And Eurogamer said like it's a very different RPG, and it was hard to put down. So at first I was like, why did he give such a low rating then? And then I guess it goes on to say, as one of the viewers have said, it says it's getting crappy reviews because of the repetitive gameplay and crappy graphics.
Really?
Which is again surprising because you say the graphics are good.
No. Okay, the graphics are crisp, but the graphics aren't like, you know, Final Fantasy. They're not like oozing production value. But they aren't like, you know, shitty either. Like, let's say, let me give you an example of a pathetic RPG, current gen RPG. Okay. See,
Dragon Age?
No, Dragon Age was atrocious. This isn't so bad. Like, let's say...
But I felt the Dragon Age play was very good, to be honest. I was actually enjoying the game while I was playing it, but then I gave it... I returned it to RP, but it was a fun game. I mean, I was enjoying it.
Let me give you an example of, you know, like, brilliant graphics. Like, let's say Lost Odyssey. You know, when you looked at that RPG, you were like, yeah, you could feel that, you know, like, production values are through the roof. It doesn't feel that way, but the graphics are, you know, good enough. And they're, you know, like, sort of unique. They have some sort of unique flair, like I told you guys. So it's a decent little RPG. Plus, one of the things, one of the trophies was listed that finished the game in 15 hours. So I'm thinking it'll probably take me roughly 20 hours to finish it, which is a good, huge plus, considering we don't have a lot of time nowadays. Spend so much time on games. So let's finish with console games, unless anybody's played something else. No? Okay then, so let's talk about our recent electronic acquisitions. Both me and Mihir got an iPad, 16 gigs. Yeah. I know I was hating on this a lot, but you know how
hypocritical you are.
No, not only that, but you know, once I see that thing, I'm like, oh, this is so smooth and everything is fast and shiny. So yeah. Mihu, why don't you talk about your initial impression? Like, you know, what are you using it for? And you know, like, yeah.
Look, like, I was on the same boat as Taimur. Like, I was questioning why would anybody buy an item like the iPad. And technically I didn't purchase it like by my own will. My dad actually gifted it to me for my birthday, and so I was like, okay, cool. After that I started researching, and I went into sites that, which had application reviews for the iPad, and people were absolutely loving it. So I got it I think on Tuesday last week Tuesday, and I've been playing with it, and I got it the like once you open it and you just like start playing with it, you are just completely blown away, because it I don't know how to place it. I mean, the best way to place it would be an ebook reader, and it has the Kindle app for all you Kindle owners, and it's free. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, it has the Kindle app. So I got the Kindle app, and I downloaded all my books onto that, and I started using it. So now
you already purchased on your Amazon account.
Correct, yeah. And all I gotta say is that I will not go back to the Kindle now. I will use my iPad as my my reading device.
how is it? I mean, that's an interesting thing you bring up. How is it? Because the Kindle, you know, it wasn't backlit. You know, you would turn it and you'd still be able to see it like a page. That's what I liked about the Kindle. It wasn't a weird kind of a screen thing that would hurt your eyes. How is the iPad in comparison for a book?
You can look at it for ages and you will not feel, you know, any sort of stress on your eyes. I'm talking, okay, I haven't been...
Yeah, I want the comparison between the Kindle and this as an ebook reader.
Okay, as an ebook reader, I would say that this is a much more... as in you the reading experience is much more fun on this because of the fact that you have a bigger device, number one, in your hand. It is a bigger device than the Kindle. It is a bit heavier. And right. About the weight, I actually like the weight of this. It's a perfect weight for this type of item. I people are saying it's very heavy, but I don't consider this as it's very heavy. It's perfectly like well balanced in all aspects. Like the size is it's good for like in how whatever position, landscape or portrait you're holding it.
I will say one thing though, that you know when I was holding it in a portrait position, you know it just felt like a regular tablet PC.
That's true.
PCs. However, in landscape mode, it felt very, vulnerable because it is sort of smooth in the back, because it's brushed aluminum or whatever it is. So it felt very, like I was like being extremely careful that I don't let it slip through my hands and get a big ass crack on my new iPad. You have to be careful in landscape mode. Yeah. Maybe it was just me, but it felt safe and it doesn't weigh too much either. Mm. So it's, the dimensions are, good enough for both hands.
But like I guess where it really shines is it's in its apps, which look beautiful on that. Like the iPad specific apps that have been released are amazing. Like I got the Marvel comic books reader, and I downloaded the first issue of the 1983 Wolverine, and I was just flipping through the pages, and it looked amazing. The screen, the resolution of this is extremely, like it's a really good screen to watch HD content on. Like on the iPhone you can't watch HD content from YouTube, so I went onto iPad and I searched for an HD video and I watched it and I was just like completely blown away. But if you actually want to watch great HD content, you should go onto the Apple Trailers website and just choose any random trailer of a movie and play it in HD. And
yeah,
it is exactly an amazing, amazing experience. It is an amazing experience because I didn't expect it to be that good, but the screen is just excellent. It is as one of the viewers says in the chat room, it is a luxury item. But it, like once you get it, you actually you try and want to use it, like in very just because it is so much fun just using, like wanting to use it. It makes you want to go on to the thing. It's quite amazing.
It's a really great gift device, like in Mihir's case, like he was pleasantly surprised. Now I ordered this on a fluke that it was sold out. I wasn't expecting to get it anyways, but then luckily I got it, so I paid for it, and I paid the actual market price with slight tax, but I wasn't paying exorbitant prices that these guys are looting over in UAE or any place else for that matter. So I was really happy, and then just like Mihir said, that I watched the Aliens vs Predator trailer on this. Holy crap, it looked nice. And it gives you the options to, go full screen. So you're still viewing that, that you have like big black bars on the top and the bottom because, the trailer is all in ultra wide screen. And there's another option as well that you can, click the button and then it'll just cut into the center of the picture. Mm. So the whole screen fills up. Still looks nice. Not as, bleedingly clear as the original picture, but it still looks really, really nice. But then of course the sides are cut off because it's not widescreen anymore. Still, I mean, visually, like Mihir said, that this is amazing. Apart from the App Store, I would say that the iPad is really, and I was laughing at Steve Jobs and when he said this in the presentation, browsing on this is really, really nice.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to get onto. But continue. I'll say something cool after that.
Because I quickly went onto every website. Is just it'll come natively. Like it won't automatically switch to the mobile version as you would in the iPhone.
All right. Okay.
So let me give you an example. Like I really enjoyed different websites. I tried Kotaku. I tried Facebook, etc. I tried one of the forums that I use as well, NeoGAF. And it looked absolutely amazing because it properly, however I tilted the screen because, you on the left side you have the pictures and the usernames and then, the right side it's all the content, whatever people are writing, pictures, etc. It just shows everything crystal clear and, the feeling of swinging through with your thumb and, it's a more personal experience is what I'm trying to say, that, you're more into it. And then I went on to make a post, just to try out how the keypad is. Now, I kept the iPad in my lap and I used both my hands. I wasn't typing with one hand. And it was just perfect.
So I was, you were using it like a laptop keyboard?
Yeah, I was using it like a laptop keyboard, except that in this case, the keyboard extended into a screen as well on my laps. So I was just like typing regularly, you know, I didn't, there were no spelling mistakes, there were no double typing anything, like, you know, nothing like that. It was just absolutely amazing.
And yeah, the keyboard for that is like an amazing thing they've done. I don't know how they pull it off, but it is like I was typing really fast to just see how many mistakes I made, and I made maybe one or two mistakes, which was quite excellent, like which was really surprising, because when you type on the iPhone, you keep like because of your thumb size, you keep hitting different keys of the inbuilt keyboard. So
yep.
It's quite, I mean, it is quite a relief when I actually use the keyboard in both portrait as well as landscape. In portrait, the way I used it was I was holding the thing in one hand, of course, but I'm typing with one hand. Which is a bit slow, but it's still very accurate. And in landscape mode,
because in the portrait you're just using your index or middle finger to type in, whereas in the landscape mode you're using all your, you know, like 3 or 4, 6 fingers over there. So you're actually using that as a regular keyboard to some extent.
And like before I actually got it, my we were talking, this was off air, we were saying like Taimur said that somebody or the other will basically, it will replace its somebody's MacBook in my house or like a laptop. And I was like, I don't think so, because my at least it won't for me, but my parents won't. They have some work with the emails and with their own computer. But nowadays I see my dad basically just using the iPad all the time. He has not taken out his laptop for the last 3 days. His laptop is actually in his office right now, and he's just using the iPad at home.
He's using the iPad as it was meant to be. In that, you know, he's working on his work laptop, on his work machine. But at home, you know, it's just a casual browsing experience, checking out a couple of emails, you know, just throwing out some stuff here and there, and then that's it. So
I gotta say this, but it may be far-fetched, but like browsing on it just makes it an amazing browsing experience. Like you actually just enjoy browsing on like, or just random sites which you've been going on your PC all day, like on Kotaku or on like eBird site or on different like websites. Just reading on that is just like, I don't know.
It's a very personal experience, because you know you're sort of literally interacting that with things like those, whereas you know on the PC it's just, you know, scrolling with the mouse wheel, you know, clicking here and there. You can think, or you know, you can hear within our voices, you know, our need to maybe, it's not justifying the purchase over here, because there's a lot of reasons that the device is worth the money, but it's just that, you know, we are not trying to explain that, you know, this is one of the features here's the thing. It's a classic example of a feature that we never wanted, but now that we have it,
we use it.
We want to use it every time.
Yeah.
It's one of those things.
It's exactly that. But I don't know. It's just like, it's a lot of fun using the device. And I'm actually happy that I got it now. Like, I guess if you were hating on it, before actually continuing on with the hate or the skepticism, just go to an Apple store and use it. And what the whole, like, the whole, why is everybody loving it so much?
Here's the thing. People who are loving it are using it as how it was meant to be, as a secondary, semi-luxury item. I mean, it's not that expensive. You can completely call it a luxury item, unless, you know, you're sort of hard-pressed for money. But, you know, if you, like, you know, I have my desktop set up over there, you know, multi-screen setup, everything, the whole shebang. But I still want to use the iPad because, you know, I'm relaxed sitting on my couch over there in the drawing room, let's say. And, you know, like being with the family, casually browsing.
And just
email
browsing,
pops
yeah.
Up, fine, you know, it's over there. Oh, some nice video just popped up. Oh, hey, look. So I'm sharing it with everybody instead of calling everybody to my room. Oh, come down here.
Now, I guess the flaws. I'll continue. Sorry.
No, I'm saying it's interesting because, you know, when I first saw the phone and stuff and I'd try and have a look at it and, you know, I wouldn't be able to do jack shit with it, and I just didn't understand what the big deal was about it. But, you know, after doing some reading, I thought, you know what, it's supposed to be a good phone, and, you know, I needed to change my phone, so I got it. And within a couple of days, you know, I was saying to everyone, okay, I understand what all the hype was about. Because, you know, I was just, in my mind, it was all like, oh, this is just, you know, bloody Apple lovers and, you know, all this bullshit going on about iPhone, what's so great about this phone. But once I started using it, honestly, I can't go back. I don't want to use anything else other than the iPhone. And, you know.
Yes.
Oh, he just went out.
The Apple might actually be a...
Wait. Huh? You just went out. You cut out.
Oh, okay. Oh, dear.
I think the connection wasn't agreeing with so much Apple love.
Right. Exactly. You know, my PC is going, what the hell are you talking about, bitch? No. What I'm saying is that it's interesting because, you know, once I got the iPhone, I realized that there was something to it, you know, like, yes, there are tons of fanboys out there that, you know, just love Apple for the sake that it's Apple, but after using the iPhone, you know, they do a lot of stuff right.
See, the thing is that this device is not just, I mean, you're using that as a tablet PC, let's say, that, you know, you're just browsing it, or for the iPhone, you know, you're using it as a phone, plus, you know, you have the iPod and all that crap.
Yeah.
It expands the usability. You have apps, you have... The App Store itself just transforms this device into something Nokia, Sony Ericsson, Samsung, these guys can't even think of. And now they're all playing catch up. But let's, you know, forget praising about, you know, the iPhone so much. Let's come back to iPad and, you know, there are some
flaws.
Mihu, why don't you?
And I guess one of the major flaws of this device is that the first version of the iPad, there is no flash, which is quite an important feature in today's internet world.
You maybe, you know, read this on the internet, but Adobe and Apple are not exactly on friendly terms with each other.
That's true, but flash is such a necessity.
It's almost everywhere, but the thing is that I personally hate flash because, you know, you have to like download, it just doesn't work out of the box. Unlike HTML5, you know, there's a reason why
Steam
jumped down to HTML coding for their main page instead of, you know, using flash again. Because it's such a cumbersome thing that, you know, I'm going onto this. Oh, this is so nice. No, there's a small question mark and it says download.
And I think, not sure, but HTML5 hopefully will take over. Because flash, yes, it is very, very annoying, but
it's
now sadly.
It's extensive as well. It's
but sadly.
Especially in the background.
That's true. So sadly, it took over the market so fast and now everybody needs it. And as one of the viewers says, that the HTML5, the switch is not going to be easy. But only time will, like, I guess
not
in time
be
we will
easy,
be
but,
able
you know,
to.
For us as end consumers, we have open access to, you know, both platforms. Like, HTML5 doesn't require me to download anything. It's just there.
Yeah.
And Flash, you know, everybody has Flash now. I mean, they all have it installed, right? So over time, once Flash gets, you know, once websites start switching to HTML, we as end users won't even realize what's going on. In fact, what we'll realize is that pages are loading faster now. You know, there's not like tons of data going on in the background and freaking, you know, like ultra. It's a nightmare for developers, sure. But me as an end user, I'm happy because my experience is, you know, smooth. I don't care. I paid for this shit. Well, okay, I don't pay for. You know what?
Okay.
So, yeah. It's, and you know, like, I agree with, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with Steve Jobs to this extent that, you know, it is, you know, it's a huge headache for all the developers who are developing, applications on the iPad and the iPhone to switch over from Flash development to, you know, like, I think it's an Apple specific code or something. But still, for me as an end user, if my application is running smooth and then after I quit it and I look at my messages or, you know, my phone book and it's not, you know, dragging down my iPhone with it, then I'm happy. Because, you know, these apps, you pay for them.
Somewhere. Yeah, but, like, I mean, that's why you check the reviews out before you pay for them, because some of the apps are really, really, really expensive. And, like, there's an instant messaging multi-protocol kind of messenger in there, which is called IM Plus, which is for $10. And it's not flash page. It's an application, but $10 for an application is quite.
Yeah,
it's quite
it's
a
lot. I mean,
it's quite a lot.
Yeah, here's another thing. Apps on the iPhone, you know, they've the market has stabilized to about $1 to $2. Exceptionally kick ass products go about like, you know, $4 to $5. You're touching max. And then Square Enix comes out with a $13 game and it, you know, goes haywire, touches like, you know, tops 14 countries. But that's a different thing. It's a very rare occasion indeed. But apps on the iPad are like all over the place. Some are $15, $20 even. Some are like $8, $9. Couple of apps are all, of course, $1, $2. I think it's going to stabilize at $5. Games I'm talking about, you know, like heavier apps, they're going to stabilize at $5. $10 maybe, certain cases. So yeah. In time, I think maybe a couple of months, 3-4 months. Once, you know, especially once with the worldwide launch, that's when it's gonna really stabilize. Because everybody's jumping in on this. All developers are like, yeah, this is the new gold mine. Start developing for this shit. Then, you know, supply and demand. All boils down to basic economics. So yeah, I just want to like quickly touch on a couple of apps and games that I've been playing, and you know, I've also tried a few iPhone apps on the iPad itself, you know, just to see how the magnification works. It looks ass, by the way. Just let me, you know, go ahead and tell you.
Oh yeah, the pixelated. Oh yeah, that looks really
okay. When you
weird.
Unlike the iPhone, you might have noticed that, you know, there's no weather application. So there's a weather application for 99 cents that, you know, displays beautiful pictures, but I haven't bought that, so I can't exactly say anything. For now, there's a free app called AccuWeather Doc or AccuWeather Lite. The Lite version, I think it just has like a pop-up advertisement bar at the bottom. Sort of like YouTube, you can like, you know, push it down so it stays
and,
on there.
And an echo phone. And like an echo phone, like if you don't buy the application, you basically get all the features of Twitter. And you have like a little advertisement on top, but I think the Echo Phone Pro, you have I think there's a couple of extra features and that advertisement's gone, which is kind of stupid. But yeah, I mean that's how they're playing it now. Like the light versions, you always will have an ad, which personally I don't really like. It's not that
it's
big
not
a
that
deal.
Big of an annoyance. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's fine. I tried another application. Now this is so sort of interesting to me, what you were saying with the Marvel comic book reader. So this application is called Foxfire HD. I just did a random anime search on the App Store and, you know, this came up. It's an interactive manga, but it's an interactive manga in the sense that, you know, how you have those books where you choose your own adventure, you know, like if you want to do this, turn to page number 81, you want to do this, turn to page number. It's sort of like that. So the frames come up like, each page is one frame, so you know, like you're showing, like, you know, person, she's talking to somebody, etc. It's going on, so you keep on flicking to the left side, and then you know, the new frame pops up, highly, like, you know, completely hand drawn, etc. And then what happens is that after, you know, X number of pages, then it'll, as the story continues, then it'll say, do you want to, like, say you want to see a flashback? Then you click on yes. If you clicked on no, then, you know, it'll just continue on to the next panel. If you clicked on yes, then it'll show you another batch of screens that, you know, and you keep on flicking through them, trying to understand, you know, okay, this is a backstory, etc. So that I found is an extremely nice interactive way of, you know, going through these things instead of, you know, just regularly flipping pages on a normal book, which, again, it's fine. But, I mean, you know, for interactive media, you know, choose your own adventure type of games, books. This is an excellent app. It was for free. Foxfire HD is what it's called.
Another thing, you mentioned a game to me before. I can't remember what it was called. The you said it was very Ikaruga-ish, in the sense it's a shooter. I'm not sure what it's called. Yeah.
It's called Espigaluda 2. So.
Oh, okay. This is it's Espigaluda. I've actually played that game on the Xbox. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, so
this is the Japanese game, right?
Yeah, this is the second part. And this is by Cave. Cave is the same company who, like, they're like excel. And they're only business, well, not their only business, but they excel in making, you know, like these bullet hell type of shooters. I don't usually like bullet hell shooters because, you know, there's so much shit on the screen and I'm, like, navigating through. But here's the best part about this game, right? It's a... like Street Fighter 4, it's designed for an iPhone user and, you know, an iPhone experience. You don't have, you know, all the controls. So some of the aspects have been simplified. They have different difficulty levels. Like, you know, one is just, you just move the spaceship around or the character around and, you know, she's just shooting automatically. The bullets go off automatically. the shields come on automatically as soon as some bullets hit you. There's others as well where you can manually switch on the shields, or, you know, you can manually go into bullet time, etc. And it is just a lot of fun to play this game, especially on the iPad, because it's an iPhone game, and it only runs on iPhone 3GS because it is fast.
I was going to say about the game, but anyway, continue, then I guess I'll go.
When you zoom in using the 2x function, this is the thing for all iPhone apps. Like, you can download or you can transfer any iPhone application onto the iPad itself. You have a 2x button. So you can play it on the original resolution. So, like, the whole screen will be black. In the center, there will be, like, an iPhone resolution. It's going on in the middle over there. And then there's a, at the bottom right, there's a button called 2x. So you can click on it, and then, you know, it'll just sort of expand, or, you know, like, it'll expand the whole thing onto the iPad's resolution. Looks like shit. Everything looks like shit. You know how you have, like, those small pictures, like JPEG pictures, and then, you know, you zoom into them, and how they become, like, you know, definitely pixelated? It feels like that. But the brilliant thing about this game was that, you know, everything on the screen was continuously moving. There's shit going all over the place. So I really like this. Plus, the, you know, the real estate of the iPad screen, so huge. It really helped me, you know, like, easily navigate through bullets or whatever it was. So it's nice and crisp when I play it in the iPhone resolution, but overblown is, you know, I just imagine that I'm playing a Dreamcast game on an HDTV. It looked like shit, but, you know. it's a $6 game, if I'm not mistaken. And
SP Galuda?
Yeah, totally.
Did you buy it or did you play the light version?
No. I downloaded the light version. I just wanted to see how it felt like first. I'm gonna wait for, and this is the best thing, I'm gonna wait for iPad versions, because these guys are definitely gonna come out with iPad.
Yeah, I was gonna say something about the game SP Galuda. I mean, I remember playing like Ikaruga, the at least the demo with Taimur. And just being completely turned off by it because of the fact that it was so hardcore, like the whole polarity changing, the polarity changing and all that. It was like very, very hardcore. And if you like I was completely put off by it, to be honest. And then I played SP Garuda in a friend's house, and that game, it blends the level of difficulty very well, like. The, like, as you said, the shield being activated by itself. Now that is an excellent feature, because I feel like that basically helps the player a lot. Even the stuff hitting you is coming fast, and the bosses are really hard in that game. So just by these little subtle like changes they make, and the little help they give you, it's quite. It makes for a much more fun experience. I'm talking about the game on the Xbox, not the server. So I hope that comes out on the.
Wow, your voice cut off really badly.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was like, is it just me? I'm just not going to say anything right now.
You were just spazzing like you're.
Okay, sorry. I was just saying, like, I hope games like.
Freestyling.
Indeed.
I was just saying games like more like Galuda come rather than Ikaruga on the iPad, because imagine changing polarities while playing that game on the iPad. You probably break your screen.
It's a, you know, such a technically demanding game, because you have all these different inputs and you have different ways to get in. Completely simplified for the iPhone version. You have one button for kicks, one button for punches, one for super attacks, and one for focus attacks. That's it. Nice. Whereas in the console version, you had like two for punches, two for kicks. You had to combine them to get the focus attacks. And, you know, God help you for the special attacks. You mistimed them. So yeah, I mean, I like these, you know, like these simplified versions on the iPad or the iPhone, because, you know, people don't, we leave the hardcore experiences for the consoles. You know, like, just give us something nice and simple yet fun,
like Wii Rule.
Like Wii Rule.
We've all been raving about.
Recently, we just started playing it. It's the iPad version. Again, you know, it's the iPad version. It looks absolutely crisp and clear on the big ass screen. And, you know, it's really nice to, you know, have such a huge real estate and easily be able to touch buttons and not worry about, you know, mistouching anything or, you know, like missing something out because your thumb is covering quarter of the screen. So yeah.
But I mean, to all iPhone users, iPad users, iPod Touch users, please get WeRule. It is one hell of an experience.
Oh, WeRule rocks! I just planted some onions and harvested them while you were talking.
Yeah, because it's a you can say it's a persistent online world because it keeps on track of your you can say it's like Farmville. But it's better.
But it's more like a geeky Farmville in the sense like it has all these this friends.
It's like
friends
said, it's more it has more elements of Settlers in it than you know like just basic Farmville going on over here. Plus you know you can always like because of the server thing. Even if my friends go offline again, I don't know how this works in Farmville or not. But you know, let's say a couple of my friends they're offline, I can still go in their towns or you know in their kingdoms rather, and then you know like select elements that are still open. And then you know, like implement them into my kingdom. I can't give you a specific example yet because I haven't tried anything yet. That's what I assume happens. But yeah, I mean it's a simplistic game, and there's another free MMO on the iPad itself, and it was actually designed for the iPad, not for the iPhone. I'm gonna try it out and check it out next week. So here's another thing to talk about. You know, from now on, iPad, iPhone games.
Good stuff. We've been doing that for the last couple of weeks already, yeah?
Yes, who would have thought? Who would have thought?
I know, iPhone games, so well.
Only on the D Culture podcast.
Alrighty then, guys, I guess that's it. Because, you know, I gotta tend my farm. Kingdom.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
So yeah, I guess that's it. I'll just leave links of all of these games and applications that we talked about in our show notes, and you can find us on iTunes. Search for D Culture over there. You can find the podcast on d-culture.com. That's our website. Mihir, you can find on Twitter on twitter.com/MihirJ. That's M-I-H-I-R-J. And I am twitter.com/Temurh, D-A-I-M-O-O-R-H. And Arfi is
Arfiman. A-R-F-I-M-A-N. I tweet like about twice a week. So, yeah. Stay tuned.
I mean, it's you're not getting overwhelmed by the spamage.
Yeah,
it to us. So yeah, that's it for us. Anything else, me that I'm forgetting?
Our email address. Did you mention that?
Yes, dculture101@gmail.com. So just send us anything. You know, like hate, love, whatever. Don't send us money. Actually, send us money.
Yes, please send us money.
Yeah, I could use it. I'll
give us your credit card information. Then you know we can review the iPhone apps for you.
Donate to us, so we could bring you live reviews of stuff we are buying for you.
Yeah, we'll stream it.
Anyway,
after I buy my iPad.
Yeah, that. It's getting quite cheap now. I think on the in computer mall it's for 2,500 dirhams, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Maybe during the summer.
Okay, cool. You don't know what you're missing, man.
I'll see you on Wednesday. All right.
Sure. Chalo, you guys. Thanks a lot for joining us tonight. See you all next week. Bye.
All right, thanks, guys.